Father, we thank you. We thank you that this is not a social gathering, Father. You've called us to Mount Zion, the throne of fire, the throne of your glory, where your saints gather to worship at your feet, to magnify the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and the mediator of the new covenant. We thank you for your host of heaven. Father, we thank you that this is not just a gathering of human beings, but a gathering of kingdom citizens.
Jesus.
We thank you, Father.
Jesus.
We have assembled before your presence, and we know that your glory surrounds us like fire. We thank you that your blood speaks over us. In your presence, everything that is not of you must bow. Everything that is not of you must die. Thank you, Father, that your presence is life. Your presence is joy. Your presence is hope. And where you are, there is breakthrough. Where you are, miracles happen. We thank you for bringing us to your presence. And we give you glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
You see, I don't know how many of you used to watch what they call the boxing. They used to have boxing entertainment, boxing fights. And two people are in that ring and they start punching each other. Amen?
Amen.
And the purpose is somebody has to knock out somebody. Amen?
Amen.
If you go to that boxing ring and you've not been training, you will not survive the first round. Amen?
Amen.
Nobody goes to a boxing ring that has not been, that has not had this big boxing pillow in their basement or in their house, that they've been practicing for a long time. Amen?
Amen.
Exercising their muscles, training their lungs, their breath, their energy, their capacity, and running miles upon miles, doing a lot of push-ups and exercise, a lot of exercise, a lot of practice. Amen?
Amen.
But when you go to that ring, you are going because you know the person on the other side has done the same thing. Amen? And you know you are going there, you're going to face a resistance. But you're going there to win.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So, when one knocks out the other, the game is over, isn't it? After they count up to 10, one, sometimes they try to get up a little bit, and if they are really knocked out, they are flat on the ground. Count 2, 3, 4, 5, and up to 10. And as soon as they count 10, that person is still on the ground. Amen? That's when they declare what? A winner. The game is what? Is what? Finished. Amen?
Amen.
So, there's a boxing ring, and this boxing ring was just something God put together. Amen? The natural one is the one man put together. This one, God put it together. And is between a fake lion and a real lion. Amen?
Amen.
One is called the lion that roars. It's a roaring lion, meaning he makes loud noise. But one is truly the Lion of Judah.
Amen.
A mighty man of war. And the battle was it was not supposed to be any kind of contest at all in the earth, because the earth belongs to the Lion of Judah. Amen?
Amen.
But it was because God allowed something to show humanity our limitation, so that we cannot depend on our flesh, on ourselves. And for God to show that, so that we can depend on God, God allowed this roaring lion and man to be on the boxing ring. And this lion was on the boxing ring his name is called Adam. Amen?
Amen.
He knocked Adam out. Because he knew the weakness of man. Man was not a match for this lion, because he knows where the weak spots were. So he knocked Adam out. So if you carry the blood of Adam in you and you want to fight this lion, it's not possible. Amen?
Amen.
So he knew that flesh has a weakness, and flesh can be deceived, and flesh can take and eat things they are not supposed to eat and become a subject of sin. This lion knows that sin and God are never in agreement. But he knows how to fight this fight. And he knows how to get man to accept that it's okay to live in sin. So as long as the world is in sin, this lion is in charge. Amen? So, all through history, God says, even before man fought the lion, God prepared the lamb. Amen? So the time came when the real lion came. But this real lion came as a lion in the heart, but he covered himself as a lamb on the outside. And so the boxing ring was set. Amen?
Amen.
And as soon as the boxing ring was set, the roaring lion was excited because he was looking at a lamb. Amen?
Amen.
He was looking at this lamb and he was very excited, because he knew that if he wins this battle, he will forever control man and the earth. But he did not know that the lion was just wearing a lamb's cloth. Amen?
Amen.
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 So they started the battle. On the outside, the lamb died on the cross. But the battle is more than physical. It's a spiritual battle. The lamb shed his blood on that cross, and the roaring lion and his demons and everyone thought the game was over. So they counted up to 2 days, nothing happened. By the time they counted number three, the lion roared. And he rose up with a loud roar says the battle is over.
Amen.
The lion not only defeated and shattered the powers of this roaring lion in all his demonic realms, under the sea, under in hell, in the heavenlies, he rose to tell the whole world, it is finished.
Hallelujah.
That he has, this lamb has not only defeated and won this battle in every front, in the spirit, in the sea, beneath the sea, on land. He took 40 days telling his disciples, the kingdom of God is now in charge.
Amen.
And I want you to go to the whole world and tell them, the roaring lion is a roaring lion. The true lion now roars. Everywhere you go in the world, let them know that the power has been restored to who he belongs to. And as many that will believe him will be able to be testimonies, and the signs of those powers will follow them. Amen?
Amen.
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 So now, the lion, the Lamb of God, left and says, now you can fight in the ring with the roaring lion. Amen?
Amen.
So he has two set of people in the world right now. There are those that have not known who the lion is or the lamb is. They are not a match for that fight. So whatever is said in the world follows, because that roaring lion, that Satan, that serpent, that devil, that deceiver has great power over the flesh. But there's another group of people that Jesus left in the earth. And this is what he said about these people. He says, they will be called believers. Amen?
Amen.
They will be called believers because they have accepted him, one, not just as their savior, the one that delivered them, saved them, but they will accept him as their Lord, the one who now rules. Savior is, he saved me, but Lord means he's now in charge, nobody else. He says, those who know him as Lord, he says, signs and wonders will follow them. What does signs and wonders mean? It means every time they enter the battle arena, that ring to fight a situation, they don't enter that battle ring thinking or questioning what the end will be. Paul says they always enter knowing they will triumph, because the battle has already been won. He calls it the fight of faith. It's not saying you just, God put it here so you just come, everything will just fall on your lap, the roaring lion will just, no, he will roar, he will make noise, he will do what is always done, he will do what makes the world afraid of death, of sickness, of poverty, everything that he has used to hold the world in fear and captivity, he will always roar with that. And men will always fear, men will always run. But it says there are those that will call themselves believers.
Mm-hmm.
It says believers, there will be evidence, the signs will follow them. What signs? The things that makes the world fear and run will become a testimony for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they will be able to enter that ring and fight.
But they are not fighting in their strength. They are fighting because they know the battle is the Lord's. And it's already won. So they are fighting the fight of faith. What is the fight of faith? Let's put it this way. The roaring lion comes with sickness or COVID or financial need or just name it, whatever it is. That's the package of the roaring lion. That's his tool of fear. That is box of intimidation. The arena box, you get into it. And he says, there's COVID now. See, these people are dying. They are getting this. This is happening. What are you going to do about it? The world will enter that boxing ring. Of course, there's nothing wrong following what God has prescribed humanly for us to take care of ourselves. The world could enter that ring and wear mask. That's welcome. The world will enter that ring and take all the necessary precautions. But for some reason, if the precaution the president took was not enough to still have COVID, David says the world will trust in their chariots and they will trust in their horses. Which is okay. But there are some battles that is never enough.
Yes.
David says, even though I have chariots, I have horses, I have the weapons of war, my confidence is not in them. It's not that I don't use them, but my trust is in the Lord. When they enter this battle, this boxing ring, the enemy punches. Here is COVID. You say, yes. And then the CNN and the news and everybody punches, keep selling the punch from this enemy and this is what it will do to you. This is what it will do to you. That. And all this wonderful bad news, which is some true, some not. So you sit here, you're eating it up. And you're eating it up, and you're eating it up. You, with all the precautions you're taking, as a non-believer, you are already bound. You are already roped. The roaring lion already has you where he wants you, and you are a captive and a captor, and completely paralyzed internally. So anywhere the world wants you to go, yes, sir. Yes, ma. Yes, sir. Yes, ma. And you fulfill whatever the agenda is that fear wants to fulfill. But I remember when using the Bible, the Bible says that there was a man that was put in a boxing ring with a roaring lion one time, and his name is David. First of all, they fought in the spirit before they fought in the physical. The news came from Goliath. The lion was rolling. I will eat you for lunch. I will do this. I will do that. David stood on this side. He was not looking at his weapons. He was not looking at his size. He was looking at the victory. He was looking at the covenant God made with Abraham. He was looking at the God of his fathers. He was looking at the creator, the one his forefathers told him brought them this far. He was looking at the God he carries his covenant blood. And he looked at the Goliath and said, Goliath, we're not equal. You are a lion, I'm just a human being. But there's one that will fight this battle. And I'm coming to you in the name of that God. If that God is still true, that's the God that has caused me to stand here. And by the name of that God, and because he's a believer, he's what looks like weapon to him. It was not weapon, but it was his faith. He took that faith and went in that boxing ring. The Roaring Lion didn't last one round. He fell. One, two, three, four. He didn't get up. So all the noise that he was making, and all the people that came with him, when they saw him and his neck cut off, they ran away. That's why the Bible calls him a roaring lion. Lie can never prove to be lie until truth prevails. Truth and lie, they don't compete. It's like light and darkness don't compete. Darkness only has power as long as there is no light. Sickness, disease only has power as long as there is no one that believes that the blood is still available. As long as somebody still believes that that lamb finished the battle and that blood is still available today, it's over. Let me tell you what the battle is not how many times you're knocking. Am I healed? Am I sick? Am I this? No, the battle is already won before you enter. So it's not the number of times he says, I am okay, I'm well, I'm good, I'm fine, this thing will not affect me, it will not come near. It's not the many times you, is what you already settled in your heart. It's either the Lion of Judah has won 2,000 years ago, or the battle is still on. So the reason Jesus, Paul says, believers, because what you believe rules. If you believe that there is no victory over death and sickness, if you believe there is no victory over poverty, all the things that the lamb took so that the lion can rise. If you believe all these things that he won the victory over and handed us the receipt of victory, which is the blood. What we believe is what we fear the most. If you believe God, you fear God more. If you believe any other thing, that's what you fear more. What you believe is what you obey. Regardless of what you see and what you feel. That's why using the word believers must have evidence after what they believe. It's not the time. Many times Jesus gave this parable about somebody knocking on the door. It's a ring. It's a battle. This man wants bread and there was a boxing ring. Somebody's just pounding. This man is going to die. There is no food. And this fight of faith was going on in his mind and in his soul. He's fighting, boxing, until one person knocked the other one out and brought bread for life. Jesus talks about a widow woman that was going on this boxing ring with a wicked judge. And they kept on boxing. I will not. He said, you will. I will not. You will. I will not. You will. And they kept boxing until the widow woman won. Jesus says, is there nobody that can trust God enough to fight until the lion, the roaring lion, becomes a liar? Nobody believes God enough in the earth to believe that this victory is real and fight until you have a testimony? You know, I'm glad I wasn't born again in Nigeria. The reason is, I would have thought it's poverty that drove me to God. I'm glad I got born again in America.
where they had everything. And God says, I want you to die to wealth. Because the temptation here to paralyze your Christianity is more than anywhere you can imagine. The comfort and the convenience can steal your faith just like that. A substitute for God. But in poor places, you can get to the point you get angry with poverty and say, God, you must heal me. God, you must deliver me. God, you are my ruler. And you fight because you have no other means. So when I got born again here, because in Nigeria I tried to be a Christian and sin took me over. I said, no, this cannot be Christianity. There's something that Jesus did that makes it possible for us, if we're fighting a sin battle, we know we win. Amen?
Amen.
Eventually. Whatever battle we fight, we always win in Christ. Because it's not a battle to fight for who we win. It's a battle for you to claim the victory.
Hallelujah.
The victory is already been done. It's for you just to claim the benefit for your life. You can't change the results of the battle. It's already settled 2,000 years. It's for you to experience and taste that victory for yourself. That's the fight of faith. So, I just couldn't, I'd never experienced, encountered God. So probably all I had then was religion. So when I came here with a mindset, I said, if anybody can make money of try to, then this place, I'll make money to help. And God saw that zeal for that side. And he already put it there. He said, no, you didn't come here for that reason. You came here because this is your mission. This is your destiny is here. And so the first, as I was trying to find my bearings here in Cleveland, the first thing the Lord told me, I mean, everybody, God tells them different thing. He says, I want you to depend on me. I didn't understand that until he says, I was starting a business. He says, stop that. I stopped. And then he says, don't ask anybody for anything. That doesn't make sense. But it was a training. I didn't understand it then. This is the only reason I can tell you, or I want to bring it before we go into some of the things the Lord has put on my heart. I had a ticket. A ticket, I didn't, you know those four-way line where you just stop? You have to stop and look and move. I didn't stop. I just look and move. There's no car coming and the police saw me. So you have to stop. And then you move. And gave me a $40 ticket. Just coming from Nigeria, had my first car, and I've stopped everything I was doing. $40 was like a lot of money for me then. And now I don't have to tell anybody. So I was believing God to pay that ticket. And I said, God, you said I shouldn't ask anybody. There's nothing wrong asking. But I know you want to train me. You want to teach me what it means. So I will trust you. And God started giving me this revelation of how great he is, how big he is, how wonderful he is, how awesome God is. I mean, he parted the Red Sea. I mean, I went to the Bible. My faith was pumped up. And I says, I will not ask. Why will I ask? God can even rain the money on me, like all this. Day one, we entered the boxing ring. The enemy started boxing. Ah, you can't pay $40 ticket. Look at you.
Wow.
Is God really God? He can't give you $40. Day two,
day three, day four. After a while, I started questioning. I said, no, I go back to the word. I fight. What does the Bible say? I stay with it. I stay with it. I stay with it. My roommate came to me. He says, Michael, this is pride. I have $40. I was in the car. Take this money, go pay them, and get this over with. I said, brother, thank you. You know, I want to trust God. I want to see the end of this thing. If God cannot give me $40 from when I know it's God, not somebody that knows about the situation, where is my faith? What am I standing on? I'm giving up my career. I'm giving up everything I am to trust God. I don't want it to be knowledge. So he said, okay, I believe you. Dave, whatever, 10, 15, I started saying, you know, this is pride for true, because after this much time, God should have $40. So I said, what that brother is telling me is true. Maybe I need to listen to him. But I read the Bible again. I said, if they will send me back to Nigeria because of $40 ticket, let it happen. I will wait for this money. So I went on. So we're in the boxing ring. It's a fight of faith. And the lion is real. The roaring lion is real. The voice is real. The threat is real. And I faced it until the 30th day, the day I was supposed to finally. If that day passes, I'm supposed to show up to the court and for failing to pay for the citation. On that day, I went to my room and I cried. I said, God, $40, 30 days. Fight of faith. You part the rest. You raise the dead. I can't pay my bills. And you say I shouldn't walk. I want to walk. I want to walk. It was easier for me. So I cried. And I remembered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I said, I've made this decision. Whatever it takes. Okay. I've done my part. And I went to my friend. He was there in the room. He says, because we go to the Bible school together, we're leaving, we're about to leave. He said, today's the day, and you want to take the $40. I humbly took it. I said, okay, let's go. We went. Then the police station was in a different location here downtown, and we paid it. That day, I just happened to drive and park behind the Bible school that I never used to park. And we parked because we're running late after we're paying the ticket. Ran by there, parked, and we rushed out. So we had to go through the administrative office to the class. As I was passing through the administrative office, the secretary of the school in the admin saw us and screamed, Michael Obi, Michael Obi. I stopped. I said, we're running late. He said, no, 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 wait, 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 wait. He said, forgive me. I'm so sorry. You had a letter here. It's been here for a week or more. And I keep wanting to give it to you, and I keep forgetting. And I took that letter. I opened it. And it was $40. Wow. It was $40. But the miracle was not just the $40.
That's what happened after that day changed my life. It was we're in this boxing ring for 30 days with this lion. But the experience, the evidence, when he says he's been here for almost a week or more, but what made it a miracle is this. I opened it and I saw a note by the $40. Say, Michael Obi, I don't know why, but I just felt like sending this to you. The $40 was not from a poor man. It was a millionaire I met in Gatlinburg. When I met these people, they only carry $100 bills. So for him to send me $40, he must have had an encounter with the Lord and said, make sure it's $40. That day, I took the $40, gave it to my friend. I said, here's your money. But I got the message. From that day, I started taking baby steps. Because now I have, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now I have a taste of this, the warfare of faith. It's not the God that will not provide. Is the training of the muscle of faith.
Yes.
I told you before I started, two people going into a boxing ring, if you've not exercised something, you can't fight. Faith requires exercise. Problem and circumstances give you that exercise.
Yes.
The trying of your faith. That season, that's when I understood a little bit what faith means and why God is looking for it. And the Lord said to me, say, son, I created this whole world. I did all these things that you see. I am all powerful, all knowing, unlimited in power, but I'm just looking for people who believe me. They say I'm their God. They say I saved them. They say, they quote. But when it comes to practically trusting me, they give excuses. Why? Because in that boxing ring, the roaring lion sounds very loud.
Jesus.
And if you don't believe this thing, I would have taken that money. I would have gone. There were so many people I could ask for money. They would be glad to say, I'll take this and go pay. But I wanted to find out for myself that God hears things in secret and does it in the open. And it was from that experience I started trusting God for gas, for this, for little this, for little that, for little that. I didn't know it was exercising my fighting muscles with this lion in the boxing ring. Let me tell you why the Lord was leading us to this. First of all, before I read the scripture, you know, today, for example, I mean, without going any further, this little fight here have graduated to the point now where the faith and the favor that comes with that faith has taken me to both White House and Black House and House and anywhere in the world. There is nowhere I believe right now I can have access to based on what God is saying to them. There are things I've rejected, things I don't even attain because it doesn't taste anything to me. Because I want more of God. There's a reason why I stayed in this building. It's because it's God's plan. And two,
There's a reason when we live here, we're not living to a building we're going to be looking for money. We are going to a building that God has already provided.
That's right.
And not just provided, it costs a lot, but we won't pay a dime for it.
Amen.
Why? Because in that boxing ring, you already know why you're there.
That's right.
If you don't exercise, my brothers and sisters, your muscle will snap if you try to run.
It's true.
You fail you. There are three major atmospheres that when you find yourself a foreigner, a stranger, you have to know where you came from and exercise the culture of that place. What am I saying? Joseph in Egypt. Daniel in Babylon. Esther and Mordecai in Persia. These were people that did not lose where they came from, who they are, and the God they serve. And why they are in a culture that is programmed to neutralize their belief, take God away from them, and feed them the delicacies of that culture. The life of Daniel told us exactly how Daniel preserved the things of God in a strange land. He says Daniel prayed 3 times a day so that he is used, he is familiar with the very source of his life. He is familiar and very much one, him and his team, so that at any time, he will not put his confidence in the king, in the big position he had, in the delicacies of the land, even though he was a prominent, favored person. But how did Daniel get there? The first exercise in the boxing ring he had to be prepared for was that what he has to eat, he must be something approved of the world. They told him, you have to eat this thing. Everybody that will serve the king must eat it for 3 years. Daniel says, no, I can't. I don't have to eat it. If the end result is we look good, we look presentable, let's go with the end result, but let's not use the means to justify how we get there. Let them eat, this group eat that, eat all the things they have to eat. But from the culture, the God I serve says, I can't eat certain things. I can't do some of these things. I will only do what he says. And when I do what God says to do, God has a way of blessing you in a strange land. Because you're keeping with kingdom alignment. Daniel did that after 10 days. And he found out that God honored him because he kept the culture of the kingdom more than those ones. You see, we live in the world, but we are not of this world. If we don't come to the place where our citizenship is not the culture that influences our life, and we are trying to eat the delicacy of this world to feed our spirit, we will die like the Laodicean church. Jesus will be on the outside saying, let me in back again. Because we've made every other thing our God except God himself. That's what Jesus said about the Laodicean church. It's a church, but Jesus is outside trying to come back in because of culture. We are in a strange land. The moment you're born again, the world is a strange land to you. You cannot dominate the things that are plaguing this world if you've adjusted your status as a citizen of heaven back to a citizen of this world. You will fear what they fear. You will die with what killed them. You will not have a consistency in that boxing ring leading to victory. Because whatever happens to the world happens to you. God only defends the people who stand for him. And it's by faith. These few people I mentioned to you, God used them as examples of how to win in a strange land. It's called a strange land for a reason. Let me tell you why it's called a strange land for a reason. I want to read to you the warnings of Paul in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He said, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you not be soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand." Listen to this. Verse 3. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." A falling away first. "Except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." We can read on from there and you see what is the rest of what he's saying to the Thessalonian church. What does he mean? He says, there is coming a time, if you read the rest, there will be a man that will literally be Satan incarnate in the last of the last days. Before this man will come with all his deceivableness and all the signs, everything, all the deception that will fill the world, it says, leading to that time, there will come a falling away from the faith. First, falling away. What does a falling away mean? The Bible says, judgment will begin at the house of God. And if you first begin at the house of the Lord, where will the ungodly and sinners stand? What does it mean, God, judgment will begin at the house of God? Then the Bible says in Haggai about the last days, what is it called, judgment? It says, "I will shake everything that can be shaken in the last days. I will shake the heavens, I will shake this, I will shake that, I will shake the nations, I will shake so that the thing that cannot be shaken will stand." And he calls it the kingdom. So what is shaking? Shaking is COVID.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it is.
Shaking is, name it in the Bible, name everything. We are not an ignorant generation unless we choose to be. We are the media generation. Every knowledge you need is there. Every concordance, everything is at your feet, at your hands. We are the generation of knowledge. The generation nobody will say, "I don't have a Bible." Some of us have 20 Bibles and concordance. We have it in iPad and iPhone and everything. The Lord was showing me, what is the shaking? If you go further, it's Paul wrote to the Timothy. It says the day will come when the power of the gospel will be denied. In other words, it says many will preach a gospel that is now based on human wisdom and enticing good words that does not transform people to the fear and the faithful life of a believer. They will be in church, but there is no power. Power doesn't mean just signs and wonders. Power means faith, solid confidence in the word of God. To stand and to fight this thing in that boxing ring until you win. Paul calls it the fight of what? Faith. Challenges. But you must win.
Amen.
You must overcome. So, the Lord was showing that the shaking one of it is that, like God said all over the Bible, this will be the greatest perverse generation ever. Perversion, corruption, immorality. He said, like the days of Noah. God did not say it in Romans 8. He says, God will allow this intentionally because those that have this will overcome it. They will rise up in righteousness. Because the glory of God will prove it. In the midst of darkness and gross darkness, they will rise in his glory. And not only perversion, God says in the midst of the shaking, is to draw the hearts of men back to him. But that is the word. But the church, in the midst of the shaking, one is to awaken people's faith back to God, or shake them to know they are really not standing in God in the first place. God is about to bring the church, judgment begin, where the church will be so refined and purified through this process of shaking, there will be no counterfeit in the church. The only thing that lets you know if you believe God or not is trials. Amen? So the Babylonian culture will seduce everybody to worship the image of the god. The Egyptian culture will seduce everybody to worship the gods of the pharaohs and you stay in bondage. The Persian culture, the laws of the land will subject you and kill your faith and your hope. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel had a lifestyle. Amen?
Amen.
My brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to read that scripture more. The shaking has begun. And it's just basically a question. God is looking for faith. I'm not saying, if you all remember very well, before we got into this winter, I remember we met with the department leaders right here. And I also spoke it right in church. The Lord has revealed to this house, and the Lord spoke to all of us here. There were four things we mentioned to watch for, so that we will not be worried. And God was merciful and gracious to show us these things ahead of time. He told us ahead of time that the winter is going to get bad with COVID. We saw that. There was a printout we showed why God says it's going to be that way. We had evidence the election is never going to go normal. We discussed about it and we talked. We knew this election will be unusual. And we can see it's going that way. And that was said, so we position ourselves. Economy, we talked about it. So all these things are talking about how many people going food, all this food, whatever. We knew the nation was in trouble, regardless of what is being portrayed. We discussed it here. We discuss four things. And of course, then God here on Pentecost Sunday revealed to all of us in this house. I didn't know. We didn't know the full picture of it. Now we know what it means. That this government will go the direction it's going right now. So we are not that. The mercy of God has kept us a little bit in the knowing. So when I say, when I talk about faith, about trusting God, God is looking for faith. All the time I was talking about these things, I was also mentioning and sharing all of us, hey, take precautions. I said, go buy food, buy vitamins towards the winter. Take vitamins, make your immune system strong. We've never outruled wearing masks. It's wisdom. We've never said, don't take vitamin. Don't. These are just natural things you ought to do. But the one that is grieving and the one that God is pointing at is, don't excuse your faith and substitute your faith for anything else. Because without faith, there is no connection to God. You might think you have God, but you are a Laodicean church. Your confidence is in everything else but God. Without faith. When they had plague in the days of Moses, the only thing that stops plague, and the place where plagues don't plague stop, is the place of incense. Moses told Joshua, go get incense quickly. As soon as he brought incense and lit that incense, he said he stood between the living and the dead, and the plague stopped. Anywhere there is incense, meaning anywhere you allow the presence of God, why will anything that is not of God? Amen. David had plague in his days. He chose for God to judge, and plague broke out. They cried, but as David got to Onas, the place where the temple, where he bought around us field, the angel said, build this. The moment he built an altar and raised up incense, the plague stopped. My brothers and sisters, the Bible makes it so clear. When there is a pestilence, there's a curse in the land, it's because of sin. And God is saying the only thing that will stop or heal the land is where God finds his people in place of humility, in agreement, in prayer. And wherever God finds that, it not only is a solution, but they are under Psalm 91 protection. Once you are giving incense, incense means worship, incense means prayer. If you go to the tabernacle, incense is inside the temple. It's inside where God is. It's a protected place. So a house of prayer, a place of worship, is the last place God will not protect. That's the place God will keep his protection. He said, I will give angels charge. I will keep you from pestilence. I will keep you from this. I will deliver you because you've made the Lord your God, your strong tower, your refuge, your hiding place, your habitation. How do you make God that in the place of prayer? Right now in America, the safest place is in the place of prayer. The house of God. And that's why God says, my house shall be a house of prayer. Amen?
Amen.
A lot of people are watching. A lot of people are sitting. It's always good to obey the government. But the government don't know spiritual things. Respond to what is practically government in the physical. But if you want serious solution for the nation, and for the city, and for your church, and for the people, it's the place of repentance and prayer. That's when God begins to respond. Because we know what is causing this. And we know how God solves it. So if you are running away from prayer, running from the house of God, then that means the plague is serving two purposes. It's not only threatening your fear, but it's keeping you from the solution.
Yes.
You're already wearing masks. You're already told to wear masks. What are you afraid of again? It's very clear. Wearing masks will help you stay, it keeps you protected. That's why we encourage people to wear masks. But if you keep giving an excuse, you can't come to prayer, you can't come to worship because of this, the government always say you can wear masks at short distance unless you keep 6 feet. Another word for 6 feet is not good. That's under the ground. I don't like the number 6 anyway. Let's keep 7 feet or 10 feet instead. Or 5 feet, grace feet. But to please the government, we can do 7 feet. Do exceedingly abundantly. But not 6. I don't like the number 6. My brothers and sisters, this is a trying moment. This is the moment we're born for. This is the time God really wants to display his power. This is the time God wants to vindicate his name. This is the time God wants to prove his love is not just words. His love has to do with healing, protection. God protects his people. We are God's children. Please, don't be afraid like the world. I promise you, if the world knows what you know, they will not be afraid. It's just that they don't know.
Yeah. Oh yes. Oh yes. Amen. Amen.
True. The falling away has started. If you watch online, some of us, we don't have to be here every day, so practically that's understandable. But I want to encourage you, the spirit of Babylon, the spirit of Egypt, the Bible says they serve the Lord at ease. It says, woe to those who serve God at ease in Zion. Yes. You can't sleep in your bed and throw your leg like that and be having Bible study online.
No way.
You can't stay in your house and be, you know what you do. Consecrated moment is to the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Everything you do to the Lord, do with excellence and reverence.
Yes.
If it's time for the things of God, it's time for the things of God.
Yes,
that's right.
Amen.
Yes,
right.
You know what you do. Let's serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. If you are at home, there's nothing wrong. But let's be in the place of the Spirit and unity. Amen. The Babylonian spirit will distract you. You're online watching and you go do this one, you come back, you go do that one, you come back, you lay this way, you fall asleep, you lay that way, you fall asleep, and you say, oh, I was on the meeting online.
That's right.
That's distraction. If you want to be blessed like you are there, let God see what you're doing in secret. It's not man, it's you and God. Or else, this falling away the Lord showed to me has already started. You know, this falling away is for people to gradually melt away from the presence of God. It's for people to gradually be distracted away from the fellowship of believers. There's a commanded blessing when we unite, online or in person. But Babylon is gradually, systematically, this lion knows how to box. Is pulling people away from their focus and their commitment to the things of God. And finally, it's not about us anymore. If I die today, I'm going to heaven. My part is, I've believed him. The purpose of the shaking and the purpose of this moment is for the sake of the lost.
Amen.
If you are hiding with the lost people, who is going to save the other? Who is going to tell them there's hope? Who is going to tell them there's... I mean, if the lost people are running here for COVID and running there and you are running ahead of them, how would they know that God saves? How would they know that God has power? How would they know there is hope? Who will preach?
Yes.
My brothers, it's a moment for our light to shine.
Amen.
So that people will come to the knowledge of God. Amen?
Amen.
So as much as we use wisdom, please
please don't lose your faith. It's the most priceless thing you have with God.
Amen.
Be encouraged.
Amen.
Be strengthened.
Amen.
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 We're going to take communion now. The Lord just led a different way. Just led Revelation chapter 12, 11 and 12 going down talks about they overcame. Remember the fight? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives, what? Unto the... Somebody that has died should not be afraid of dying again. We came from death to life, isn't it? So what are we afraid of death again? He says he has conquered death. Now understand what I'm saying. I'm not trying to play with words. I know we get threatened humanly. We fear death. We fear. But the point is, God is saying, faith has so much confidence in God that faith does not fear. He fights fear until he defeats fear.
Amen.
Fear will come, but faith will fight until what? You knock out fear. And the moment you knock out fear, you win.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
So we love our life and not so much afraid of death because we came out of death to life.
Exactly.
Amen?
Amen?
So my brothers and sisters, we are called a household of what? Faith. Let us be those who are justified by what? Faith. In this season. Amen?
Amen.
Not F-A-T-E. I have African accent. It's F-A-I-T-H. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Mr. Williams, you understand what I'm saying? Let's stand up and declare our faith. By taking this covenant, we are covenant people.
Amen.
And God keeps his covenant over us.
Amen.
This is what I want to encourage you from today.
Yes.
Because the news is so loud and the reality is there.
Yes.
That COVID, and that's all that is selling in the news now. You have to talk about COVID for people to watch.
Yeah.
The news is there. The fear is there. My brothers and sisters, Jesus says, as you take this, do this in remembrance of what?
Amen.
What are you going to remember about Jesus?
Death on the cross.
Yes, go ahead. What will you remember? Go ahead.
Death on the cross, our salvation.
Good. Who else?
Rock.
Resurrection,
Rock.
You believe it?
Yes.
Unmovable.
The great physician.
The great physician, New covenant. Don't be afraid.
Yes.
Savior.
Yes.
Cynthia.
Savior.
Amen. Zoe. What is Jesus to you? Love. Amen.
Amen.
Life.
Deliverer.
Marian.
Mercy.
Mercy.
Yeah.
Victorious.
Yeah.
Lion.
Yeah.
Miney.
Great.
Power. Huh?
Great.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the covenant. That's what you're reminding yourself that God is to you.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes,
Lord. This is not just some, it means what you just said to you. So as you take it, it says, do this as you remind yourself of who I am and what I have done. From today, this is what I will encourage you after we take this communion. Every time, I don't have to say it because I believe it, but sometimes we have to declare it to remind ourselves. From today, every time you go to your, you know, God told Moses, put it on your doorpost, put it on the side, put it. From today, when you go into your house, bless your house. This house is covered in the blood. And you know what the blood means? It's a covenant protection. This job place is covered in the blood. This work environment is covered in the blood.
Amen.
When you come out, he says, I am covered in the blood.
Jesus.
Put it on your body. I'm covered in the blood. You speak it.
Amen?
Amen. Because wherever you go, if they say there is COVID, COVID will not come near your door.
Right.
That's what Psalms 91 says. It will not come near your dwelling. But it will come if you don't take authority over it. If you don't take authority over it. If you don't speak it. If you don't place it on it. Then the angels watch. So from today, everywhere you go, just speak it, because it helps your faith to be strong. My house is covered in the blood. It shall not come near my dwelling. That's what. No pestilence, no plague. My body, my life, my breathing is covered in the blood. If you believe it, signs and wonders will confirm it. Amen.
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 Amen. No member of anywhere COVID is, as long as the blood of Jesus is, you're protected. So use the blood as your number one weapon.
Amen.
You can use the marks as the physical ones, but use this one as the real one. Amen?
Amen.
Trump, President Trump used Mark and he got COVID.
Yeah.
But if you had the blood,
then
you have assurance.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen? So do what you need to do, but put your trust in the blood
Amen.
Of the Lamb. It protects you spiritually and physically.
Amen.
So as we take this, you're reminding yourself you are under covenant.
Amen.
So pray and take it. Sister Keziah, please come. You and the Lord, pray, get it into your spirit, get into your heart, that this blood means something to you. It's not news. It's proven for 2,000 years to be real to those that believe.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. The name of the Lord is the name of the Lord. A strong tower, the righteous running, the righteous running, they are saved. Father, we have declared your name in this place today. We called you different names. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The real lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Yes, Lord, many of us have been boxed in by the one that is like a roaring lion. Many of us have been threatened. There's fear, there's intimidation, there's sickness, oh God. There's chaos, there's hatred, there's division. Because the lion, the fake lion, has intimidated people. But we stand as a mighty army. We stand as a king. Daughters and sons, we stand as priests of the Most High God, and we take authority this morning as we come into this renewal of covenant with you. We take authority over that lion, that fake lion, and we begin to release the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah to begin to roar in the east, roar in the north, roar in the south, roar, lion of the tribe of Judah. And silence the speaking of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Over every life in this place that is watching, over our families, over the body of Christ. Oh God, we silence the voice of the enemy. And we say, let your voice ring out. We have released your name in this place. The Bible says in Isaiah, out of Zion shall go forth the law. From Mount Zion shall go forth the law. And the word of the Lord out of Jerusalem. We have released your word in this place. And we stand in faith. As we take communion this day, we are reminded that you have overcome. That you have won. That you paid for it. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your death. Thank you for resurrection. Thank you for newness of life. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let us, oh God, live it out as we receive from you this day. We say thank you. And we say, let the truth of your death apply to us, that no evil shall befall us. No plague shall come nigh our dwelling. Because the name of the Lord is a strong tower. We hold on to your name. And we take this communion this day, believing you and trusting you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, the world says vaccine is an antibody created to fight and destroy infections. But we thank you.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you.
That our trust is in the original vaccine of vaccines.
Yes. Yes.
The one that has been tested and proven.
Yes.
2,000 years ago to today.
Yes.
It not only protects from sickness, it not only fights infections, it raises the dead.
Yes.
Father, we thank you.
Thank you.
The Holy Spirit is here to confirm it.
Amen.
We have weaknesses.
Amen.
The Father.
Thank you,
Father. The Son.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And that is enough.
Amen.
We thank you, Father.
Thank you.
And we thank you for the wisdom you've given us.
Yes.
To do that which is necessary.
Yes.
But Father, let our faith not rest in that which is shakable.
Jesus.
Let our faith be on that which is unshakable.
Yes.
Unmovable. The Rock of Ages.
Amen.
The Ancient of Days.
Amen.
The Jehovah Rapha.
Amen.
The one that is always I am.
Amen.
Ever present.
Amen.
In the time of need.
Amen.
All powerful. All knowing.
Amen.
He knows the details.
Yes.
All seeing.
Amen.
He sees the details.
Amen.
All powerful.
Amen.
No limitation.
Amen.
Receive glory and honor.
Hallelujah.
For the privilege we have to call you our Father.
Amen.
You care for us.
Yes.
And we believe you.
Yes.
And we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You can take now. Thank you.
I'm blessed.
Hallelujah.